If you will, look over to Hebrews chapter 11. If ever there was a passage that was highlighted by the idea of faith being the victory, it'd be Hebrews chapter 11. And when we look at this passage, sometimes we may find it a little difficult to figure out who made the list and why others did not. Some of these we might question, well, why did God leave these people out? Or we might read someone in this list and we say, well, why did God include that particular person? But I would say that one of those that we would all agree on that should be there is the man David. Moses. Moses, who was called the most humble man in all of Israel, set the example of what faith does to trust under troubled circumstances. And as we consider the man Moses and all he did, I want us to go down and look at what the Lord has to say about him here. Going down to verse 23. As we look to verse 23, we'll just read down through verse 29. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people of Israel crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned." The obvious word that stands out in that passage is faith. Look at how many times God is describing Moses as having this very tremendous faith, yet there's another word within this section that's also quite important, and that's the word looking. And as we think about the word looking in the context of Moses, we understand that Moses was looking for something as well. And in this reading, we read a lot about his life, but I want us to hone in particular on verse 26, when it says, "He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Why is that such an important word? Well, when we come to the word looking as described here in verse 26, it means not simply to scan the horizon. It means that your eyes are fixed on one thing. They're intently gazing at one thing. So if we imagine what Moses is doing here, God says that he had something in sight, and he had his fixed eyes on that, unwilling to move them. And to do that, it meant that he was eliminating all the distractions. That everything that stood in between him and this that he was looking at, that his eyes were fixed on, whatever distractions were in between, he did not allow those to take his mind off of what he desired. So what were some of those things? As we consider the life of Moses, what were some of those things that could have distracted him? Well, verse 26, again, helps us with that. It says that he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. We know, historically, at this time, Egypt was the leading power in the world. The pharaohs were fabulously wealthy. Pretty much anything they desired, they could have. But yet it even extended beyond that, didn't it? That when we consider the treasures of Egypt, it wasn't just the wealth. But here's also the status of being a part of the royal family. Being the adopted grandson of the most powerful figure on the earth, and the power that that would have given to him to pretty much have anything he desired, anything that he wanted. And also security. When Moses could look at his own people and see what was going on with them, and contrast that with the security of being in Pharaoh's palace, surely there was a very obvious contrast there. That while his people were struggling mightily, here within the house of Pharaoh, there was security that could be there. Those were the things that could distract. Those were the things that could stand in between. So how did Moses deal with that? What prevented him from becoming distracted by all of those things? Well, again, we look at verse 26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. What was it that Moses saw? What Moses saw was God. And despite the wealth and the security and the power and the prestige and every other distraction, there was nothing that was going to take his eyes off of what he desired to see, and that being his God. And thus, what the writer here in Hebrews 11 is saying is that his faith kept him from a very fatal distraction. His faith in God kept him from going in directions that in the short term might very well have been enjoyable, but in the long term would have been disastrous. So what the writer is telling us is that Moses said, what is to come is much better than what's here in the present. That takes a lot of strength. That takes a lot of faith to say, though these things look very good, there is something better that's coming. The writer, as he sums up Moses and the others who are described here in Hebrews chapter 11, he transitions to his point that he wants us to understand. And so as we look in chapter 12, verses 1 and the first part of verse 2, the writer says, based on all of these things, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, and we find our word, once again, same word. Let us endure the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Before we make that point for ourselves, we might do well to consider the fact that Jesus was looking. In fact, as we continue verse 2, the writer goes on to say, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What could have distracted Jesus? Well, the writer tells us. He says that Jesus had to endure the cross, that he was despising the shame that was associated with this death that was coming on the cross. And thus what we find is that unlike Moses, who very easily could have been distracted by the wealth of Egypt, Jesus could have been distracted by what he had in front of him with the suffering that was going on. Was that not what the devil tempted him with? Give up your position as the Son of God, and you don't have to suffer these things. Give it up. I'll leave these folks over here. You won't really have to die for them. What he was trying to do is to distract Jesus and to say, if you'll simply bow down and worship me, then all of this shame that you're going to have to endure, that's going to go away. I assure you that was a real temptation. That was no play acting that was going on. Here the devil was hitting Jesus in the hardest thing that he could imagine in the idea of that shame. So what made Jesus fix his eyes on other things? The writer explains that. He says, for the joy that was set before him. As Moses looked to his reward, Jesus looked to the joy. What was that joy? Well, the joy, as the writer says here, is the fact that there would be that return to the Father, that the unity that was known before the foundations of the earth were ever laid could once again be there. And so despite the fact that these distractions were in front of him, Jesus said, I'll do nothing to give that up. And thus sets the example for us. And that's why the writer says to you and me that we are to look to Jesus. You see, in a lot of ways, we're like Moses. We're looking to the unseen. We're looking to what lies beyond. And as Moses, you and I have got to have the kind of faith that is essential so that when God looks at our life as he did with Moses, he can say, by faith he did this, by faith she did this. That's what it takes. And thus our eyes must be fixed on him in that faith that is essential to one day see him. And thus that means that we are going to trust that eternity with Jesus will surpass everything in the present. There are things that can get in our way. The times we live in, we can certainly see those who have turned to wealth and to status and to power and given up their look to Jesus. They've been distracted by these things that are in front of them. But perhaps more than any of these, Christians face the danger of allowing security to break that look. Here, the cost is just too great, and thus, if we can kind of have this status quo relationship with God where nothing ever tests us, nothing ever causes problems, we're good with that. But when it comes time to count the cost, there will be many who will say, I'll choose the temporary security of kind of this anonymous relationship with God any day of the week over the danger that can come when I stand up and acknowledge Him. You see, you and I have got to have the faith of Moses. We've got to say, come what may, we're willing to give whatever we need to up so that we can one day be with Jesus. And like Jesus, we've got to be willing to accept the shame and the disrespect that comes by being a faithful servant of God. Here was one who committed no sin, yet was treated in such an atrocious way. I doubt any of us will ever experience that. But yet in smaller ways, there's always that ever-present shame and disrespect that grows when you stand up for what's right, when you let your light shine in darkness. And thus, if we really believe that our eternity with Jesus is worth it, we're going to go through these things. Whatever stands in the way, whatever distraction is there, we keep our eyes fixed on God. And so I ask each of us this morning, what are our eyes fixed on? Are we looking at what's straight in front of us, distracted? Are we looking at things that one day will be gone, temporal, transient things for our security? Or are we looking to our reward as Moses looked to his? Are we looking to the joy set before us as Jesus looked to that joy? To one day find the unity that we can have with our Father in heaven and with Jesus Christ our Savior. This morning, if your eyes have been distracted, if you're looking at things that are not going to be permanent, it's time to look again. This morning, if you are in need of becoming a Christian, today is the day for you to be baptized into His name, to trust that God in those waters will take your sins away and that you can be raised up pure and righteous. Or maybe you've known that, but you've allowed things to get in your way, distractions to come. If you'd like for us to pray with you this morning, we'll do that. Whatever it takes, let's make sure that we're looking to the One who is permanent, the One who will provide that joy.